We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
7 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494 on this Thursday evening. A lot to talk about here. Some Eagles, offseason, Howie Roseman. We'll get to a Sixers postgame show later. Of course, a Clearwater check-in. Our buddy Kevin Franzen will join the show later. But I want to talk today and tonight about Howie Roseman. Howie Roseman has become... I feel like Howie Roseman is now the most disliked sports figure in Philadelphia. It's amazing the fall of Howie Roseman, the rise of Howie Roseman to now the fall of Howie Roseman. And here is my perception, my perspective on what Howie is. Howie Roseman is not a bad general manager. All I hear lately is how terrible Howie Roseman is and how doomed the Eagles are with him as their GM. In fact, I have been told many times on this show over the past couple months, there's no way the Eagles can ever win with Howie Roseman, which of course ignores the idea they have won with Howie Roseman. I believe we used to overrate Howie Roseman. A few years ago, he won Executive of the Year. There were lists out. He's the top GM in the sport. I believe there was one. I forget the site that had it. But at some point, I believe I read from someone, somewhere, that Howie Roseman was number one and above like anybody else in terms of the best general manager in the National Football League. Guess what that was? Baloney. You know what also is baloney? The idea that he's dead last, that he's the worst. I believe we have gone so far the other way that we can't even actually have, and I'll try to do it tonight, but we can't even actually have a conversation about Howie Roseman or the future of the Eagles because it comes down to like, fire Howie. It's like we're like instinctive robots now. Hey, what do you think they'll do in the draft? Fire Howie. Like, can we just take a deep breath on Howie Roseman? First of all, he's not going anywhere. So, you know, if you want him gone, I know a lot of people do. I get that. He hasn't done a good job in the last couple of years, and they haven't had enough good drafts. I totally acknowledge that. But Howie's not going anywhere. We found that out with that ridiculous Lurie press conference. He believes in him. He doesn't really hold him accountable for anything he's done, any of the bad, and he's not going anywhere. So all of us together, guess what we have to do? We have to live with Howie Roseman. And here's what we have to find out tonight. And we can go through it and what he's done, his draft picks, the good, the bad. The bottom line is, I don't believe the Eagles have a bad general manager. When you have a bad general manager, you're screwed. And I go back to this because perception, reality, your resume versus you know what people think of you. Like, we all get muddled up when we have emotions invested in all of this. And right now, it's an emotional time. The Eagles had a 4-11-1 season. Howie Roseman just executed a trade to trade away Carson Wentz, the only Pro Bowl player he's picked in 5 years. So it's a weird time of emotions here in this fan base talking about this general manager. I understand that. But here's what his resume says. His resume says he's not a bad general manager. His resume says more often than not, they're a competitive football team with him. And his resume says these are the kind of off seasons. 2012 going into 2013, 2015 going into 2016. These are the off seasons where Howie Roseman does his best work. When everything looks its worst, and when there's a rebuild to commence, and when he's got to get rid of players and contracts and make trades and get value, this is when Howie Roseman actually does his best work. On draft night, does he? Unfortunately not. You know, when they're trying to sustain winning, like they did in 18 and 19, unfortunately, that's not when he does his best work. The best work Howie Roseman has done as Eagles general manager has been in these kind of environments when they have traded away players, they've gotten rid of bad contracts, they've reset the whole thing. And you look at it, and you look at what Howie's done in his career, like we talk about him as if the Eagles are, you know, the Browns or the Jaguars, that they have this moron Howie Roseman, and there's just no way that they could ever become a good football team again. And I just totally disagree with that. Like, they're not buried because they have Howie Roseman. Nothing of the track record here suggests that. And in fact, I'll go so far as to say this. If Jalen Hurts, and I know the other night we talked a lot about Jalen and what he could be and his potential. If Jalen Hurts turns out to be a franchise caliber quarterback, which I believe he can be, then guess what? despite what you might think of Howie, despite what many in this town now think of Howie Roseman, the Eagles are going to be good again. I mean, just quite frankly, if Jalen Hurts turns out to be a good quarterback, they're going to be a good football team again quickly, because that's the way it works in the NFL. If you have a dynamite player, a quarterback, or a good player, a quarterback, you're going to be fine. And Howie Roseman, for as much flack as he's getting right now, like we just are conveniently ignoring the fact that he is largely responsible for the Philadelphia Eagles winning a championship a few years ago. So this whole idea that the Eagles cannot and never will again win with Howie Roseman, well, how did they do it before? Like, we can't just pretend he wasn't here. We can't pretend this didn't happen. It did. Howie Roseman was executive of the year 3 years ago. And you might be sitting in your car saying, well, yeah, well, Joe, you always say Carson Wentz things, and he was MVP caliber quarterback 3 years ago. Sure, he was. Players decline all the time. They get hurt, they decline, they have injuries, whatever. General managers, they don't really decline. Like, if they're good, they're good. They might not have as much success for whatever reason, but they don't decline physically, or like Howie didn't get dumber overnight. Like, coaches and GMs don't get stupid. Players decline physically, so it's a different thing. Howie Roseman 3 years ago was looked at as the best general manager in the National Football League. Now, I never really thought he was. I thought that it was over the top off of one great year. He's never been that great, because quite frankly, if you don't draft well and you're not a great talent evaluator, you can't be the best GM in the sport. But there lies a world where he's not as good as he was thought of then, but he's not as bad as we're making him out to be now. 215-592-9494. We'll start with Howie tonight, because I believe that we've gone to a level with Howie Roseman where it's like we've lost our compass here. He is not a bad general manager. And that's really what this comes down to. Because if you have a bad GM and you're in a bad situation talent-wise, you are screwed. Like, then you're in big, big trouble. We've seen that with franchises like the Browns, like the Jaguars, the Bengals at points. If you have a combination of bad roster in the moment and a bad GM, you are in trouble for a long time in the NFL. Other than that, if you have an okay roster or a good roster, or you have a good GM or a pretty good GM and a decent roster, whatever the combination is, you can fix things pretty quickly. And we've watched the Eagles with Howie Roseman. 2012, they were 4-12. They made the playoffs the next year. 2015, it looked like it was just a disaster zone with Chip Kelly and Byron Maxwell and Alonzo and all those bad contracts and, you know, no way out of what they were in right then. And then 2 years later, they were in Minneapolis raising a Lombardi trophy. The idea that the Eagles have a bad general manager and that the Eagles cannot win ever again with Howie Roseman, it just doesn't match up to what's actually happened during his tenure, which is above 500 football, 4 playoff trips, a championship, and usually a competitive team. That's what the reality of Howie Roseman's teams have been. And we could debate, you know, whether he's been in charge in this year or that year, but the guy was named the GM 10 years ago. And for the most part, over the 10 years, the Eagles have not been a dumpster fire, and for the most part have been a competitive football team. He's the constant. Like, we could all have our opinion on Howie, and I want to hear yours tonight. 215-592-9494. But who's been the constant in the Eagles organization for the last decade? Only him. Jeff Lurie and him. That's it. Those are the constants. You know, the coaches have changed. The quarterbacks have changed. The players have changed. A couple players like Brandon, who have been here a very long time. Brandon, you know, Jason, Fletcher. But for the most part, there's been one constant since 2010. And his name is Howie Roseman. And the Eagles are not the Browns. They're not the Jaguars. They're a competitive team almost every year. He's got to get some credit for that. 215-592-9494. Let's talk Howie. I think this conversation has lost its compass. I think that all the discourse around Howie is just like everyone losing their mind over one bad year. He's not a bad general manager. Do you think Howie's a bad GM? 215-592-9494. A ton to get into tonight. Bryce Harper spoke today. We got a lot of Eagles to get into. We will discuss it all. We start on the other side with Howie Roseman. Do you believe he's a bad general manager? I don't. We'll discuss on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 7:15, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here. On a night, I want to have a Howie Roseman discussion, because guess what? He's the common denominator. He's the constant. He's here. He's not going anywhere, and he's here. And really, the Eagles' fate, in essence, lies in how Howie can clean out the crap that he's piled up the last couple years, clear out these contracts, get some draft picks, and reset this football team. And my perspective on Howie is this. I don't believe Howie Roseman is as bad as we've made him out to be the past couple months. I don't believe he's one of the NFL's worst general managers. And I don't think the Eagles are doomed with him as their general manager. We've already seen him help build a championship team. That happened 3 years ago. Like, it wasn't a decade or two ago. Like, you know, the game has passed them by. That happened. Now, I'm not going to pretend to you. We'll go to the phone lines here in a second. 215-592-9494. You will not hear me once say Howie's great. I thought it was silly a couple years ago when he was listed as the number one GM in the NFL on all those all those columns that were out there. And, you know, people were saying, oh, he's number one. He's the best GM. That's crazy. Howie's not a great GM. He has too many deficiencies to be that. But there is that world where you're not the greatest, which Howie never deserved to be number one or ranked number one among GMs. But he's also not the worst. Like, the idea that Eagles are doomed now and they can't win with him, it doesn't match up to the guy's resume. It doesn't match up to his 10 years here and what they've accomplished. 215-592-9494. Do you believe Howie Roseman is a bad general manager? Chad is in Vineland. Hey, Chad.
Yo.
Chad, what's up, man?
What's good?
What are you thinking here?
I think that Howie Roseman is a terrible GM.
Why?
When was the last time Howie Roseman took accountability?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's a good question, but it's also a weird one. Like, what would constitute taking accountability?
Owning up to all of the mistakes that he's made the past, ever since we won the Super Bowl.
But how does he do that? Like, Chad, he can't come out and say, like, hey, I should have taken Justin Jefferson over Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor's on the Eagles. He can't bury his draft pick while the kid's still here. Like, what do you want him to say?
I mean, I understand that, but Carson was a bad pick, and he said nothing about Carson. And then he kept gassing Carson up, but Carson never did a thing.
Well, I can't. I can't agree with that. Yeah, Chad, I can't. And I look, I was probably as critical of Carson as anybody here. I can't say he never did anything. I mean, he did for a 3 year span. He was a good quarterback. I mean, they won a lot of games with him. He was a good quarterback, and he turned out to be, for 1 year, a great one. So he wasn't he didn't do nothing here.
I mean, he had a couple good years.
Yeah.
And the one really good year before he got hurt.
Right.
But I mean, it's just Howie's just – I don't trust him anymore. Like, there's something about him.
Well, that's that word you use there, Chad, and I appreciate your phone call tonight. That's the word I hear a lot. Like, you can't trust Howie Roseman to fix this thing. He's made too many mistakes. He can't – you know, you can't be trusted. Well, guess what? Number one, we have, unfortunately, no say in this. Yeah, I would love – what do you think sports would be like around here, Tucker, if for 1 year WIP got to decide who got hired and fired?
I think everyone would get fired.
Everyone would get fired. Every coach would get fired. But as far as, like, you know, how he goes and trusting him, we have no choice in this. Like, we can yell and complain and scream about it. And, I mean, we've done that before with certain people that we really thought were bad. Like, I kept saying, Matt Klentak, at some point, you realize the guy couldn't do it. And I don't feel that way about Howie Roseman. Like, there are certain coaches, there are certain general managers that come along, and you have it up to here, and you say, you know what, he's got to go. He's out. And I sense a lot of people feel that about Howie right now. I'm not there. I don't believe Howie Roseman is a bad general manager. You can make mistakes. You could have bad drafts. You could have this or that. But, like, when you add it up all over time, it doesn't equate to bad. And I'll just say this. If he's so bad, how do they win so many football games around here? Like, it's the one thing that doesn't add up. Like, how could he be as bad as he's made out to be lately if they win as often as they do? And obviously this past year they lost most of their games. But in his tenure, they have had a winning record. And I think – I looked it up the other day. I think he's 13 games or so over 500 in the 7 years. You would think he had power 6 or 7 years. And that's with this year, right? Like, that's with this year factored in, where they went 4-11-1. So his record before this year was quite good. Let's talk to Thomas, who's in media. What's up, Thomas?
How you doing, man?
Good. What's up tonight?
I just want to start off with, I respect why you want to make your argument. because for a point, we have to deal with Howie. He's going to be here. So it's obviously it's better to think hopeful than it is to think negative of it. But he's just not a good GM, man. And I just want to use, for one argument you made about Carson a lot of times is you said the 2017 year was an outlier.
It was.
So
yep.
if we take away the Super Bowl year from Howie's record, if you take that away, there haven't been many, many seasons. I think from what I was just looking at, there was more seasons under 500, though, than there were over 500.
I don't think that would be true. I mean, I can look at two. So he's been the GM. I mean, it's also hard, Thomas, when it comes to Howie, because, you know, what do we give him credit for? I mean, he's been the GM for 10 years, but obviously Andy was here for the first three of those. Chip took away his power in one of those years. So, I mean, we all could look at a different, like, line. Like, did we count six of the years? Do we count all 10? But how many – they've only had, Thomas, since Howie became the GM in 2010. How many under 500 years has the franchise had? They've had – Andy's last year, they were 4-12. Chip's last year, 7-9. Doug's first year, 7-9. And then this year. So that's 4 of 10, they've been under 500. So that means
yeah.
6 of the 10, they've been over.
And there was the 2-9-7 years, which aren't great.
Yep.
And in a very bad division, especially at that time. And I mean, obviously, I want to hope for the best. I'm hoping for the best. If he's going to be here, I'm rooting for him. But I draft. I judge the GMs a lot on how much talent they can bring. And when's the last time you looked at the Eagles and you thought, "Man, this team's loaded with talent"?
2017. It's been a long
and
time.
And if you take that, and if you take that year out of it, the other years have been teams that have been mediocre but have played. Like the actual players play above their believed ability.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong on that. I mean, there hasn't been many years lately where it's been overwhelming talent. I mean, they haven't had that. Thomas, I appreciate it. But there is one thing I think we're discounting. I think we look at the end result sometimes, and like I always look at GMs on the team they build when you get to spring training or you get to training camp or you get to week one, right? Just to kind of whatever line of in the sand you want to draw. Is it really Howie Roseman's fault that all the injuries happen? I mean, you could blame him for some of it because he had older guys in the team. But, Tucker, I go back to, like, people keep bringing up 18 and 19, they only won 9 games. But if my memory serves, they're over-under heading into those seasons, which, you know, it's a take from Vegas based on a line to generate betting, but whatever. Like, it gives a snapshot of what the teams are. Their over-unders were among the highest in the NFL, I recall, heading off the Super Bowl in 2000. I'm going to guess, I don't know if we could find this, but I'm going to guess their over-under of wins heading into 2018 off the Super Bowl was probably 10.5 wins. And then in what, 2019, it was 9.5?
It was 10 even.
So they won the Super Bowl, won 13 games, and they had an over-under of 10.5 and 10. Those to me, that means he didn't build bad teams. He may have built faulty teams that had older players that got hurt, but on paper, those teams weren't bad. They weren't even mediocre. They were supposed to be really good.
I mean, in my mind, it means he built popular teams. I understand where you're coming from, but at the same point, Joe, I sat here and listened to you last year when you defended Doug Peterson, saying, well, what was he supposed to do? Look at the slop he was given.
Injuries.
But if you hire injury-prone people, like that's what's going to happen, right?
Sure.
Like, we all love DeSean Jackson. I'm sure DeSean Jackson maybe being healthy in 2020 changes something, but were you shocked he only played 3 games? Because
no.
I wasn't.
No, I wasn't. But some of the injuries are out of his hand, right? Like,
I mean, like Malik Jackson played every game for like 8 years and then broke his foot week one.
Right. And then like they spent a lot of money on a wide receiving core a couple years ago of Nelson, of Alshon, of DeSean. And by December, they were all gone and it became forever legend here of what do people call them? Like Wawa workers and postal workers.
Do you ever wonder what would have happened if they had kept Torrey Smith?
I do. Now, he didn't do much when he left here, right?
No, but Mike Wallace broke his leg week one and never played again.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Every year they've tried to find a new speed wide receiver, right? It's the same thing every year, right? It was Torrey Smith, then it was Mike Wallace, then it was DeSean. Who's this year's?
That was Marquise Goodwin, and he just decided not to play football.
T.Y. Hilton this year? Could be. I mean, every year they try this. 215-592-9494. I don't believe Howie Roseman is a bad general manager, and that seems to be a very popular thought right now. Like, the Eagles are doomed. I mean, there are people out there, no matter what you say about the Eagles, no matter what the conversation is, the retort is fire Howie. Fire Howie. And, I mean, we all know he's not getting fired today. Like, maybe after one more bad year, maybe Jeff changes his mind about Howie and, you know, goes in a different direction. But I look at it like this. Howie Roseman was never as great as we made him out to be, but he's also tonight and today in this offseason not nearly as bad of a GM as we've decided. Like, I don't believe the Eagles are doomed because Howie Roseman is there. In fact, his track record says 2012 to 13, they went from 4 wins to 10. That was the last, you know, these are the last rebuilds. And then 2015, Chip's last year, to 2016-17, they won a Super Bowl 2 years later and reset the whole franchise. So his track record says he'll do this well. They'll get out of this with him. Let's talk to John, who is in Mount Laurel. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, Joe?
Good, John. What's up tonight?
I just want to say, first off, thank you so much, by the way, for even offering this sobering topic. Because I got to say, I've had a hard time listening to 94.1 for a while now because it's just been so emotional regarding Howie Roseman specifically. I mean, it's been a frustrating year, but I feel like all the negativity is purely based on an emotional response to how bad the season was, but it's not really based in anything tangible or backed by any kind of statistic necessarily.
Yeah, and it's not even, John, based on his history, right? Like, if the Eagles had, if this was the third or fourth, 4 or 5 win season under Howie, then I think we'd all would agree, like, holy moly, the Eagles are a terrible franchise and Howie doesn't know what he's doing. But the reality is, whether he misses on picks or not, every year they're usually pretty competitive.
No, absolutely. And by the way, that's a great point because the last caller made it. I just saw a thing of an article recently. The Eagles with Howie Roseman have been way above 500, and if you remove the two Andy Reid seasons and the Chip Kelly year, he's even higher, way above 500. So I don't really see the correspondence that we've been struggling forever kind of argument. And actually, can I say the whole drafting thing, I don't think this gets brought up enough. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but was anyone else an Eagles fan when the Eagles hired Joe Douglas to run the draft? Like, I feel like no one really corresponds that enough. Like, Joe Douglas was doing press conferences after the draft. Like, he wasn't a nobody. He had input. He was a major influence on all three of the bad drafts, quote unquote.
Like, John, it's a great point because it was looked at as like, oh, they have a football guy now. They have Joe Douglas. And unfortunately, I mean, those draft picks have just simply not worked out the way we wanted. Barnett has just been all right. Sidney Jones was a waste of time. Like, it's basically 2 or 3 years of nothing. And, I mean, obviously Howie is the GM. He gets all the blame or all the fault. But you're right. Joe Douglas was right there with them and probably running those drafts.
But take a step further, by the way, with those draft picks. Hindsight versus foresight. Like, a lot of those players I was excited to have. Like, Barnett's a great example. He broke Reggie White's record in college. Like, tell me anyone who wasn't excited to have him on the team or couldn't justify the pick. Like, yeah, it didn't work out, but it had logic to it. It wasn't like he was just like, hey, some rando from, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, this guy looks like he can really play football.
Right, he played in the SEC and broke Reggie White's record. He wasn't a nobody.
And most of the picks were like that. I mean, most of the guys, even the bad picks, like Donald Pumphrey, terrible, right?
Yep.
But he set, like, what, the FBS or whatever record for all-purpose yards. So there was always a justification to it. I think Rager was really the first pick that was a little off the radar as far as, you weren't quite sure why, but I felt like they had been, you know, stung so many times with justifying production for the draft pick that they kind of wanted to go off it. Maybe, I don't know, but that was the first one where I was a little surprised by the pick based on reputation. But besides that, I don't know. It always seemed to make sense when we picked them. It didn't work out, but I'm not going to knock a guy for being logical. I just don't see the point in being like, yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing. But it's like, I mean, it made sense to do it. I mean, that's just me.
Yeah, so well, it did. And, John, I appreciate you listening tonight. So I'm looking right now at Howie Roseman's draft picks. Okay, this is always what we talk about. It's always the number one thing. They haven't drafted well enough. I don't know what the hit percentage is. I don't even know how you'd quantify what the hit percentage should be on a draft pick and how many guys you should get from every draft. But I've brought this up a lot in recent years, that when Andy got fired in 2012, And that team went from Andy to Chip, went to Tucker's guy, Chip Kelly. We didn't know at the time. Like, you'd be lying. Like, it's very easy to say, oh, like that team had some players on it, right? It had Brandon Graham. It had Nick Foles. It wasn't a bare cupboard. Nobody really knew that then. Like, Nick Foles then, we'd had no idea. I mean, some people may have liked him off the game-winning drive against Tampa Bay, and he showed something, and, you know, there was something there. But, like, no one knew. Kind of similar to Jalen Hurts right now. And I'm looking at some of these drafts. I'm looking at the last five drafts of Howie Roseman, okay, since he came back into power. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. And there is a feeling out there right now, and it's probably generally correct, that there's not much here. But there's a lot that we still don't know yet. Like, what if Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback? Does that change the equation on the whole draft stuff? Of course it does. It becomes a great pick. We have no idea what almost anyone in the rest of the 2020 draft will be. But I have a feeling a couple of these guys are actually going to be players for them. Jack Driscoll, I kind of like what I saw him playing the offensive line last year before he got hurt. John Hightower, I didn't love it, but there's something there. Quez Watkins, I saw a lot of speed. Like, maybe there's something in that draft besides Jalen Hurts that becomes something. Andre Dillard, terrible. But Sanders is probably your only player from the 2019 draft. That's bad. 2018? Tucker, I think the 2018 draft, we might look back on differently as time goes along. So the 2018 draft, Goddard, Sweat, Mailata. They only had five picks, none in the first round. They traded out of the first round. Goddard, Sweat, Mailata, that's not a bad draft. That might be three starters.
Yeah, I mean, and add in Maddox, if they ever let him play his natural position, right, a slot corner or safety, you may have another guy there.
Yeah, it's just interesting because we make these determinations on draft, and we all do it, right? We watch a season or two, and we decide this is what they are. They pop or they don't pop. It doesn't always work like that. Like, sometimes it takes a little while. I mean, I'll go back to 16. Wentz, which I still believe was a fine pick, right? I'm not going to rip the drafting of Carson Wentz. He had a good run here until this year. Wentz, Seumalo, Vitae, Mills, those were four of the seven or eight picks they had. I don't even, like, what is the right percentage where you say this guy has a decent hit rate? Is it a third? Is it half? Like, what are we looking for here?
Yeah, I mean, even Smallwood, I would argue, in the fifth round was a good pick for that draft, too.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big issue is there's not enough blue-chip players. There's not enough impact players that, like, wow, this guy changes a franchise. But I would argue there's plenty of Millses and Mailatas and, you know, Vitae. Like, he actually does a pretty good job on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a matter of, like, they aren't cutting guys left and right, though, right? Like, the last four drafts, you look at them, the team's still littered with those players.
Right.
Outside of Wentz, there isn't a first-round pick that's been cut since then, or moved on from, I should say. But you hit it on the head. Like, the other part is, when we talk about, and we did it last night, where we talked about, you know, who's kind of the next guy, or the next group, do you envision Fletcher Cox, or do you envision Brandon Grant being on the next Eagles team that's competing for a Super Bowl? And the answer to that is no. And the flip side is, I don't see anyone on this team being a key contributing to a contending team. Like, Dallas Goedert's good. Miles Sanders had his moments his rookie year, and then he was flat out terrible last year. But, I mean, Jalen Hurts, you mentioned, is the big switch in everything.
Everything.
Because if you can find a franchise quarterback, albeit in the second round, but if you can do that and get that part right, makes the other 52 decisions on the roster that much easier.
Yeah, it raises all boats. 215-592-9494. Mark is in Oaks. Mark is on WIP. What's up, Mark?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What are you thinking tonight?
All right, so this is the first conversation. I've been a very big Wentz supporter over this whole time, but since he got traded, I've been able to kind of take a step back and look at everything, you know, just kind of with a bird's eye view. So Howie Roseman, in my opinion, obviously hasn't, I mean, it can be argued, I guess, to go what you guys are talking about, that he's been decent at drafting, but the general consensus is he hasn't been very good. I think one thing he is very good at, and again, I've been very critical of Howie, is obviously working with free agents, getting them here, and then manipulating the cap in order to bring those guys in and keep some of those players here and, you know, manipulate the cap so that we can get some of these guys. The only problem with that is my issue with him is that I don't see that as a sustainable thing to do. Like, it's kind of perfect for what we did. We had one year where we made a big splash, we won a Super Bowl, and then we kind of tailed off and we're at where we're at, where we are now.
Yeah, it's Mark, it's interesting. I agree that it's very hard to sustain that. There's one way to do it, though, and I don't know if the Eagles are going to think this way, but the reason I think it works so well was because Carson Wentz was cheap, right? When you have a cheap quarterback and you're paying your quarterback almost nothing, you have a lot of wiggle room to sign a free agent here or there, add a veteran here, and kind of supplement where you missed in the draft. And once Carson's contract started to get more expensive the last 2 years, and obviously this year, and it was going to get even more expensive, that became harder. So I wonder if, like, the reset here with Hurts being cheap, it gives him a shot again to do what you said. Like, it isn't sustainable forever because eventually you probably have to pay whoever your quarterback is. But, like, this is when he was at his best. The best team ever put together was with the cheap quarterback.
Agreed. So that actually brings me, again, like I said, I've been kind of taking a step back. And this is the first conversation on any of the shows where I've been able to present this, I guess, remotely kind of conspiracy theory, if you want to call it that. So I believe the idea to get rid of Carson happened – actually, like 2 years ago, before they drafted Hurts, because they understood, again, you always play to your strengths, you don't play to your weaknesses. Obviously, they haven't drafted very well. They haven't been able to bring in that young, cheap talent very often. And when they do, it's kind of like a mediocre guy that does kind of help, but he doesn't entirely.
Right.
But I think them bringing in Hurts was their – I think Howie understood, hey, Carson's eventually going to be useless to us because he's going to get hurt. I don't think he intended it to go the way it did, where he just played so poorly that they pretty much had to move on from him. But I think they brought in Hurts thinking, okay, Carson's going to get hurt. We'll be able to trade him and have a team hopefully take a chance on him to not get hurt again. And in doing so, we clear up a ton of cap space to where, like you said, we can use that money to do what we've always done and sign, you know, higher profile free agents, bring them in and make a big splash for a year or two. And then hopefully, you know, it gets the city off our back because we win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, Mark, I agree with you. I actually think that the thought process is pretty similar to yours. And I just think it got sped up on them. Like, if I were to guess, they probably thought it would happen over the course of 2 years, maybe more organically. And then, like, after next year, it would just be like, oh, we're trading Wentz. Instead, it was a disaster of a season, and Wentz wanted out, and it all just kind of got sped up on them. But I do think that. And, Mark, I appreciate it, man. Good call. And I'm glad we can all have rational conversations post-Carson again. I didn't know if it was ever going to happen.
It's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, there were a few days or weeks or months in there where it just felt like it was like battle lines were being drawn.
Yeah, I mean, some people tended to act irrationally.
I agree on that, yes. Not me, but I agree. Some people tended to act very irrationally when it came to the Wentz stuff. But that, I agree with Mark's thought there. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back your phone calls. Do you believe Howie Roseman is a bad general manager? I don't. And we have a little fun with a side topic here based on two things. One, a big birthday today. And number two, the WIP Awards. I'll explain coming up right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.